This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everybody, welcome to the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, my faithful companion, Mr. Damon McDonald. And Damon, we are back after a bit of a break there, but we are excited to talk about the King of Pro Wrestling show that just happened this past Monday. And yeah, thanks everyone for being patient with us. We know that everyone was chomping at the bit to hear what we had to say about this show. But Damon, are you ready?
Listen, just some quick points. I think we got to set a table here. One, again, thanks everybody, because you know what, a lot of people were looking for the show on Sunday, and unfortunately, we just couldn't make our schedules mesh. It's been a crazy week in our lives, but we're making it happen now. So this is a special little gift for us. A little late, but we'll be talking about this show. So that's number one. Number two, somebody owes me a fucking dollar. I want to make sure that's perfectly clear, and we'll get to this later on in the show, but somebody owes me a dollar.
I'm not sure what you're referencing, but
I think everybody knows what we're referencing, and you know, I expect payment in time, or interest will be accrued. Third thing, I'm not that faithful because I cheated on you last night, and she was fucking hot. So, all right, I'm ready now.
Yeah, and just a few other things that I want to make note of before we get into the meat and potatoes here. Number one, I'm sitting down with an interesting wine I picked up last night.
You're a wine drinker, aren't you?
Oh yeah, I'm a big wine drinker. Yeah, and this is kind of a recent thing that developed in the past few years or so, because my parents are winos and they kind of got me hooked.
Let me ask you, because this is a thing that and literally seconds ago we were like, all right, we got to stay on the rails. We're going to just talk about the King of Pro Wrestling.
Well, this is important stuff, I feel.
It is. If you go to a bar, say you're going out with your friends.
Sure.
Are you the type of guy that's going to get a glass of wine at a bar? Okay.
No, this is strictly a at-home thing. If I go to a bar, you know, like I'm going to do tomorrow after work, I'm going to be drinking beer.
Okay. Because I went to a bar, like it was like a restaurant bar kind of thing, and I'm looking, and we're waiting for a table, and this guy's walking around with a glass of wine, and I'm like, in the bar section, and I'm like, what fucking guy does that? Like,
A classy guy.
Apparently, because he was, he had an ascot and a monocle. I don't know if that had anything to do with it, but it was I don't know guys that do that. Like, I just don't know guys. If you're at a bar, you get a beer. If you're at the table, a glass of wine. Sure, absolutely. But I don't know anybody who intentionally goes into a bar, sits down and says, I'll have a glass of Chardonnay, please. I don't know anybody who does that.
Yeah, if I'm at a fancy Italian restaurant, of course I'll
order
a nice glass of Merlot, which I'm drinking right now. It's actually a new brand I decided to check out called Casiero del Diablo. Mm-hmm. So it's on special for Halloween. But the second thing that I wanted to say, you know, believe it or not, folks, we don't get paid to do this.
we don't. Nobody told me this.
Yeah, I know. I don't know if this is a surprise or not to you, Damon. But we do not get paid to do this. We do this because it is a passion of ours. It is a labor of love. And hey, if somebody's going to pay us to do this, we'll crank out a podcast every day.
Wouldn't it be great if we were I don't know, somehow Alvarez this shit, and you know, you wake up and you watch a little prograps, and then you talk about it, and then that would be the life.
That is our goal, folks. If you want to make this happen, you know, please continue to listen. Me and Damon here, we could be the next, we could be the Meltzer and Alvarez of the Puro world. Think about it.
I'll yell at you for getting things wrong.
Well, speaking of getting things wrong.
Yeah.
Speaking of getting things wrong, let's get into this King of Pro Wrestling review right now.
Yes, sir.
Damon, first of all, my initial thoughts. I really enjoyed this show. I thought that it was a good show. Let me ask you this. Which commentary did you listen to?
All right, that's a good question. So I said to myself, Damon, are you going to listen to the English because it's new? Or are you going to go settle back in your little comfy chair? Or are you going to watch the Japanese feed? And truth be told, I started out with the Japanese feed because I honestly, I just clicked on the wrong. I just, of course, a habit, I went to the Japanese feed. But after the middle of the first match, I did go into the English commentary. And I did watch the first match again, English commentary. So I did see a lot of both. So no worries. I saw both. So I can soundly critique the English commentary.
All right. So you want to get into the opening match here?
Yes. First of all, you said you like the show overall, right?
Yeah, thumbs up. I enjoyed the show overall. And, you know, I just have a feeling that this is going to be one of those shows where we're going to be having a lot of disagreements. And that first disagreement is going to start with the commentary. I thought that Kevin Kelly and Matt Stryker did a fine job with what they were instructed to do. And let's make this very clear. I guarantee you that New Japan Pro Wrestling, the brass of NJPW, told them, they probably gave them the same instructions that they gave Stryker and Ross at Wrestle Kingdom, and that is,
Don't
break the table, number one. And number two, call this show like you're calling it for people who, you know, are brand new to the product, brand new eyes to the product. And with that in mind, I think that they did a great job. I'm sorry.
Okay, let's address that point first. So you're saying that the brass came to them and said, hey, we're trying to penetrate the North American audience a little bit. We brought you along. We paid your flight. We got your hotel. We got you a couple meals. Here's what we need you to do. We need you to call it so that they could absorb it. You're saying that they came to them and said that to them?
Yes, I guarantee you that those
I guarantee you they didn't. I guarantee you they sat there with their thumbs in their asses and got literally no instructions at all. And I'll tell you why. Did you watch the press conference leading up to this event?
I did not.
Ah, okay. So this press conference was an absolute fiasco. I use the term the shit burrito. This was a shit enchilada platter.
Wow. What was this, from Chipotle or Moe's Southwest?
What's the difference? That's both. I don't know what the. I know I'm literally got stomach cramps on my ride home anytime I eat that stuff. Look, this was literally, here's the table, here's your microphone, figure it the fuck out, boys, because how and I felt sorry for him. I really felt sorry for Stryker and Kelly during this part, because you could tell they had no direction. And everybody's speaking Japanese. It's a press conference, Colin. So the guys are getting up at a microphone and they're yammering on in Japanese. And Kelly and Stryker are pretending to know and pretending to be able to decipher what the fuck they're saying. And they're it was the most embarrassing, awkward thing I think ever created by man.
I might have to go back and watch this.
Yes, you have to. Just for the fact that, like, you're just watching Stryker and Kelly literally bullshit their way. It was like you were, like you had to give a presentation at work, or at school, and you lost your notes, and you're just fucking winging it. This was winging it. If you're looking for winging it in a dictionary, watch this. This video should play online, because these guys were just making shit up as they went along. It was crazy. So no. Colin, I got to disagree with you. First disagreement. I really don't think they got much instruction at all.
Well, neither do I, but I think that was the one piece of information they got. Call it like you're calling it to new eyes.
I, you know what? I have no confirmation either way. But to me, I don't think so at all. And I'll go so far as to say they got the raw Stryker's treatment. And that's amazing to me. You would think Stryker would be like, would clue in Kelly and be like, look, here's what happened the last time with these fucking schmoes. We were flying by the seat of our pants. Here's what we can do to kind of offset that, because they're not going to give a shit. I don't think they gave him anything, Colin. I think they gave him a table. They had a monitor, and that's it. I really don't think they got much of anything. And I could be dead wrong, but they didn't feel like it.
You know what's interesting? For some reason or another, I didn't know that they were actually going to be in Japan. For whatever reason, I thought that this was going to be like a broadcast from like a studio somewhere. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, they actually flew me. I actually took the time out of my busy schedule to listen to Kevin Kelly's podcast.
Wait. Kevin Kelly has a podcast?
Yeah, he does.
Well, I guess if we have a podcast, then...
Right, anybody, buy a microphone, you got to have a podcast. Actually, you do a fucking bang-up job, so let's pump the brakes.
Well, hey, you're no slouch yourself there.
All right, let's make out. All right.
let's not start sucking each other's dicks just yet.
All right. Dude, I had somebody, talk about the show, the last show he did, and I just go with my silly little thing about the birthday thing. And he goes, I listen to 5 minutes of you sucking your own dick. that's a way to put it. All right. Anyway, back to sucking our own dicks.
Right.
We were talking about Kevin Kelly, weren't we?
Yes, we were. Great transition.
And we were talking about how they weren't getting any direction. And I forget what else we were talking about. But anyway, I don't think they got any. Oh, the studio. Yeah. So I was listening to their podcast and Kevin Kelly's podcast. And he specifically said that, they paid for his flight. They obviously paid for his hotel. They paid for him to go. And this is not an exact quote, mind you, but it's kind of what he said. They paid him very well to do this show, apparently. Apparently, they made him an offer, and he fully expected this offer to be low so that he was going to go the old, a little low. No, he didn't need, apparently, he didn't even need to do that. He was just like, yep, okay, sign me up, done. So he went on to say that it was a good deal. So
they made him an offer that he couldn't refuse.
Exactly. So... they hauled his ass over there.
Wow. So, another thing that I want to touch upon here. Now, you know that I am not one of those guys who, says that they need English commentary to get into Japanese pro wrestling. Obviously, I'm not one of those guys. And obviously, you have never been one of those guys. And as a matter of fact, people who say that they can't get into it because there's no English commentary, that just completely boggles my mind. Now, with that being said, New Japan Pro Wrestling, starting this past January, finally gives us English commentary for their biggest show of the year. And then again, this past Monday, they give us English commentary. And, for all the people who've been asking for English commentary on New Japan Pro Wrestling, NJPW gives it to you. And then you have the brass balls to bitch about who it is when it's announced?
Like, yes.
Count your blessings here. Seriously,
count
your blessings. My God, if you would have said that, 10 years ago that we were going to be getting, English commentary on a New Japan show, I wouldn't have believed you. But, it happened twice now. So quite frankly, I think that we're pretty damn lucky.
Look, I get the fact that 10 years ago we didn't have English commentary. 10 years ago we didn't have fucking iPhones. But the point being is, it was shit. It was not good, Colin. This English commentary was not good, and I have reasons to believe this. It wasn't good, Colin. Help me understand what they did that was so not average and somewhat shitty.
Number one, are they Ronaldo and Barnett? Not even close. They're not even in the same ballpark as, Mauro Ronaldo and Josh Barnett. Should those guys have called this show? Yes. Should those guys call Wrestle Kingdom 10? Yes, absolutely. Those are the two that I want to call that show. However, with that being said, I think that Matt Stryker, this guy's passion for pro wrestling is contagious, and he knows a lot about the history of Japanese pro wrestling, and I think that really comes across in his commentary that he actually cares about this. And
passion,
you know,
is one, right, passion is one thing, and I'll give him the benefit there. Yeah, he's absolutely passionate. But listen, you go online and you can see that the venom and the hate. And here's the thing with Stryker. I think Stryker did a good job here, to be quite honest with you. He brought the level to tolerable. I thought of the two, there were times when he was literally carrying the fucking broadcast. For a guy who's there to be a color guy, there were times when he was literally carrying the load.
For the second time in a row this year.
Yeah, yeah. So my beef with this English commentary, and it's not a big beef. It's not like I'm fucking, you know, standing on a mountaintop screaming. Well, I'm sitting in an office screaming, but, you know, it's not like it's a big deal to me. It's really not that big of a deal. But let's be honest here. Stryker wasn't the problem. It was fucking Kevin Kelly that was an issue. I really didn't have that big of a problem with Stryker. His usual annoyances where he makes fucking shit up out of the blue. And he just fucking rambles things that aren't even accurate. That was kept to a minimum, to be honest with you. I didn't have a problem. It was fucking Kevin Kelly that I had the problem with. And I'll tell you, here's the one thing that drove me batshit crazy. This is the one thing that literally had me screaming from a mountain and ready to punch my TV. So he makes this comment right before the Okada Styles match. And before that, during the Ishii Makabe match, I noticed it. But I didn't really pay that much mind. But then when he said what he said before that match, the AJ Styles Okada match, I couldn't believe what the fuck he was saying. He says, hey, you know what? We're big fans. So if you hear us go silent during this match, we're just watching the match, and we're just gonna let it play out and let the pictures speak for themselves. Fuck you! You gotta fucking, this is your job. You're a fucking play-by-play guy. How the fuck are you gonna sit there and be, oh, I'm gonna play silent and watch a match and be a fan? You fucking got a flight to Japan.
Damon, he was just saying that. He wasn't serious.
But he did it. Dude, there are pockets of this match where there is no one saying a fucking word. Who the fuck does he think he is? Vince Scully? Calling a fucking Cardinals-Cub game in the middle of July and letting the game breathe? This is fucking pro wrestling. This is his job. This is why he's there. Why would there be any silence? His job is to call the match. And guess what? That's all he needed to do.
There were definitely room for moments of silence, though, I think.
Listen, there were. Colin, watch that match and listen to that. Watch it with the pure intentions of listening to that commentary. Because here's the thing. Unfortunately, I'm such an animal, and when I do these fucking Voices of Wrestling Access TV reviews, and I say fucking, but like I don't like it. I do like it. Don't get me wrong, but I do it in a way that I'm listening to this commentary. There is no need for the amount of silence and this disclaimer in the beginning of the match that he's just going to let this thing, you know, work itself out. Come on. And here's another thing, Colin. If I heard one, two, no, one more. He did it seven.
I know.
Times. One, two, no. Oh.
He could have at least done the old Vince McMahon. One, two, and he got him.
No, he didn't. No champ. Like, I hate when they do that. No champ. And then, no, they didn't get it.
A maneuver.
What a maneuver. It was, I give Kevin Kelly a big, fat D. It was, he was not good. Look, I know he went into this because he said it on his podcast. Look, the action speaks for itself in the ring with New Japan Pro Wrestling. And he went there, and it felt to me, and I could be dead wrong, he could have a notebook 15 feet high. It felt like he went in there really, I don't want to say unprepared, but it sounded like it was unpreparedness because he was just hanging with, oh, noes, and
whoa, it was like he was a fan. It was like if we went there and fucking did commentary.
Hey, I would go if they paid us.
Of course. And it would be just like that.
We should get that petition started. We should call Wrestle Kingdom 10. Fuck Ronaldo and Barnett. Let's me and you should do this.
All right. Now we're talking. But you see my point? Like, I don't want to hear a fan call a match. That's the last thing I want to fucking hear. I want to hear a professional broadcaster call a match. And whatever that way they do it. Listen, I'm not the biggest fan of Michael Cole by any stretch of the imagination. I'm not, and I really don't like JBL, to be honest. They do a better job. They did a better job than Kevin Kelly on this show. At least that's their world. Like, that's what they're paid to do, and they get people barking in their ear, to say this, you fuckers. It's that's their world, and that's kind of like what they do. So that what they do in their world, I think they do well. It's not my thing. I think it's shit pro wrestling. It's sports entertainment. That's a different conversation for a different day. But what Kelly was paid to do was call New Japan Pro Wrestling, and I think he did a piss poor job of it.
And here I am thinking, being surprised at how good he did, actually. I was surprised at how good he did.
What won you over? Like, what did he do that was so great?
I was surprised that, look, I think going into this, my expectations were pretty low.
Mine too.
And perhaps they were so low that in a lot of ways he actually exceeded them.
But I think he didn't. He didn't call matches. He oohed and aahed through matches. I can't tell you how many times he was just, he doesn't, and I'm guilty of it too, but I'm not calling a fucking pro wrestling match. I don't know the names of all the moves, right? I know what I called them back in the day. I don't know a fucking, whatever, but I mean, the bigger moves, but I don't know, like, all right, let's just leave it at this. I don't know the name of the fucking moves, right? But, again, he's supposed to. Like, you can't just fucking ooh and ah your way through a play-by-play call. It was just unacceptable to me. Unacceptable.
I guess at the end of the day, as I was sitting there watching this show, I was thinking to myself, man, this is pretty cool that I'm sitting here watching a New Japan Pro Wrestling show with English commentary. I think we're pretty lucky. That, I don't know. Call me crazy. That's what I enjoyed it. Am I wrong for enjoying this? Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong for enjoying it. But to think that they did a good job, I think you let that enjoyment of hearing someone speak English to you cloud the fact that it really wasn't good. Like, it really wasn't good.
I said at the top of this that it was not even in the same... I'm not comparing it to Ronaldo and Barnett. I'm not. I made that perfectly clear.
Right, but not even comparing it to those two.
For what it was. For what it was.
I enjoyed it. All right, you enjoyed it. I did not. I did not enjoy it, and I think that it was I pray that if they decide to go English feed again, that Kevin Kelly's not a part of this mix.
Don't get me wrong. I would actually prefer – I would like to see JR get another shot at this and, hear if he can do a better job than he did at Wrestle Kingdom. Not to say that he did a bad job. We talked about it before on this podcast. There were parts of that show where he was just completely lost. But I'd like to see him, and he has expressed interest in this, lending his voice to NJPW again. So we'll see what happens there. But
what's scary to me, Colin, is that I don't even think New Japan knows about Mauro Ranallo.
Yeah,
I don't. I think if he walked into a room, they wouldn't know who he was. That scares me. That's kind of sad to me. That, like, and I feel bad for him because, again, we said it last week. It sounded like a guy that was all willing. His bags are already packed. he would have left at a moment's notice.
Yeah, and after we went off the air last week, he did respond to our tweet, and he said he was never approached about doing that show. Which, like you said, it's sad that NJPW wouldn't know about him, especially when they have this show that airs in America. And,
it's not a New Japan thing, though. It's between the networks and
TV,
I know somebody,
Asahi.
Yeah, it's, they, I mean, I know one of the Real Hero team
who does your uploads, you know, we talked, and he was saying that, you know, it, to him, it sounded like it was more of a contract thing in the sense that, you know, he technically couldn't. Showtime had him by the balls. But, you know, in hearing everything during the week play out, it didn't seem like that either. And again, I could be wrong. I've never spoken to the guy, but that it was, you know, he in his contract, Showtime, which is a subsidiary of or a parent company of Access TV. The problem is in his contract and broadcasting live events. Now, I can't imagine.
Let's think that. About this logically here. Do you really think that Showtime would give a fuck if Mauro Ranallo broadcasted a Japanese pro wrestling event
at
that airs at 3 in the morning on some obscured Japanese pro wrestling subscription network? You really think that they would be burnt up about that?
Right. I can't imagine.
Come on.
Right. I can't imagine. But that's just some of the information that I had, so I figured I'd pass that along. Yeah, that's a tough pill to swallow for me. But if that's the case, that's the case. But it didn't seem like it to me. All right, we talked a lot about announcers.
Yeah, I think that I think that the prognosis here is that Damon thought the commentary was shit, and I didn't think it was that bad. I quite enjoyed it, actually.
All right. Well, I'd love to hear what people thought, but
yeah, please
and
tweet
it, you
us.
Know, if you looked online, it didn't seem like I think people were more in my camp.
Oh, I have no doubt that you know, people were in the bitching and moaning camp, like you are, Damon.
It wasn't a bitch and moan. Listen, I would be the first person to come on here and be like, they did a fucking great job. They did a tremendous job. I would be all over it. I have no fucking dogs in this hunt. I got no problem whatsoever. If it's good, I'll be the first to tell you. But I didn't think it was good. And here's the thing. I think Stryker, again, did a good job.
And just to wrap up that thought here, I'm going to read to you two tweets off of Stryker's Twitter account. The first one, which I love, one of the best parts about having haters is I get to wake up and walk along the beach every day while they all have to go to work.
Well, I mean, you know, all right.
That was his first tweet.
Yeah, and, the truth hurts, you prick. All right, go ahead.
The second one, read some reviews. I missed some things, names, etc. Apologies. I'll admit I was nervous. Always will be. No excuse, though. Back to work.
Okay. Now, would you give that same pass to Joe Buck calling a football game? Right? Would you give that same pass to, I don't know, you know, your local hockey announcer who, you know, has a tough Russian name he's got to pronounce? Would you give that same pass to the guy calling the rugby game or the cricket match or whatever the, you know what, you know?
No, but I'll give it to Matt Stryker.
Why?
Because I love Matt Stryker.
Right? Because so now we're getting to the heart of it here. You got a man crush? Is this what this is?
No, Matt Stryker is just, God, he's like the ultimate.
He's handsome, isn't he? Is that what you're
trying to tell me? He's a handsome guy. Right. There's no doubt about that. But he's like the ultimate pro wrestling nerd. I mean, talk about a guy who just loves pro wrestling.
You can love pro wrestling. And listen, there's people that listen to this fucking show that love pro wrestling because there's no other reason why they would. That doesn't mean I'm going to stick a microphone in front of their face and have them call Naito Tanahashi.
And I'll never forget the time on the WWE ECW show when he quoted Rush. I believe he said, "Begin the day with a friendly voice, a companion unobtrusive." And from that moment on, Matt Stryker became my. I mean, come on, this guy is quoting Rush and he's making all these obscured references. Matt Stryker's the man. I would love to get him on this podcast to talk some NJPW.
Listen, if you can set it up, I'll talk to anybody. I think that'd be fine. But, Colin,
Matt Stryker's the man.
You're a character. You're a fucking character.
All right. We talked this whole English commentary situation to death. So why don't we get into the matches now, Damon? Huh?
Yeah, it sounds like a fun idea.
Yeah, there were some matches on this event, believe it or not, and it opened up with a 10-man tag team match. We had the team of Jushin Thunder Liger, Tiger Mask, Kushida, Ryusuke Taguchi, and Mascara Dorada versus Juice Robinson, Sho Tanaka, Jay White, David Finlay, and Yohei Komatsu. As far as these multi-man, young lion, legends, matches go, I had a lot of fun with this, actually.
Yeah, I liked this a lot. I think this lived up to my expectations. I thought this was... You know, for our opening match, it seemed like it had a lot of fire. They gave it a little bit more time. I think it was about 8 minutes or something like that. I like this match a lot. I love the idea going into it. We had our wacky prediction side, and we had what we actually thought would happen, and what actually thought would happen made sense. Except it was Dorada who got the pin, right?
He got
the pinfall. Yeah.
Yeah, Dorada pinned Finley after a Dorada screwdriver.
There you go. Look, this was everything that we talked about and everything that we had mentioned before, and it was a real enjoyable ride. I had no problems with it, but here's a perfect example of, and I can't believe we're focusing on the announcing again. I'm not going to name names, Colin, but somebody don't know their Komatsus from their Tanakas. Just saying.
Well, they do look similar.
Oh, okay, all right. They're both wearing black truck.
Yeah.
Listen, let me tell you, if New Japan called you, Colin, and said, guess what, big guy? We're flying you over and you're calling this fucking show, guess what? You're going to know the difference. You're going to tell the difference. You'll find something.
They weren't moving pretty fast.
Well, that's true. They were in the front row. Come on.
All right, so that was a fun match. I actually might go back and rewatch that match. It was so much fun. But moving on here, second match on the card, Tomoaki Honma versus Yoshihashi. Let me tell you something. As far as Yoshihashi matches go, I think that this was one of his better ones. I thought that this was a decent match. Of course, we all were speculating of the never open weight title implications that this match had. And Tomoaki Honma picking up the win after the Kokeshi headbutt from the top rope. And hey, another thing about the English commentary.
Right. Without
Matt Stryker, I would have never known that a Kokeshi was a Japanese doll with a big head that falls down. And that's what Honma named the headbutt after.
You don't have a fucking computer, dude? But
I would have never known that. I would have never known that if it wasn't for Matt Stryker.
Just put it in Google and
there you go. There's one. There's a shining example of how Matt Stryker enhanced this broadcast for all of us. I know what a Kokeshi is now.
All right. Well, again, you could have fucking Googled that, but that's all right. Good.
I never would have, though.
Why not?
Damon, were you going to Google what a Kokeshi was?
Listen, if you look at my search history, you might be shocked at what some of the shit I look up.
I'm sure I would.
All right. It begins with an M and it ends in an ILF. Look, I'm concerned with the way that this match is going to lead to Honma in the future. What do I mean by that? Well, if Honma loses to Ishii, what's the point, right? Like, his whole thing is the lovable loser. His whole thing is, never quite reaching the brass ring, so to speak. So if he gets this win here, is this just another restart? Is this just another, pump the brakes on Honma? Because, again, he picked up his win against Ishii, and I guess it makes sense for him to win here and to take on Ishii and challenge for the never title. But again, I guess if he loses, where do we go from here with Honma, right? Like, if he loses, I feel like it's weird because you think picking up wins would help somebody. And for me, it's just the opposite with him. Every win he gets kind of is like, okay, so either we're going to go all the way with him or we're not, because his whole gimmick is the lovable loser, right? Then what does he have?
Right, Honma is essentially the Charlie Brown of New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Right, so, like I said, unless we're going all in and he's winning this title, I don't know how I feel about him winning, if that makes any sense.
I'm going to hold my thoughts on that until we move up the card a bit and get to the Makabe Ishii match.
All right, no problem, but I figured I'd spill I'd show my cards now. I guess.
Well, let's move on here.
All right.
Let's move on to the next match here. Hirooki Goto and Kota Ibushi, Shibata and Captain New Japan versus the team of Hiroyoshi Tenzan, Kojima, Nagata, and Nakanishi. What can I say about this match? I don't even really remember it. Damon, what happened in this match?
Well, look, the one thing that I can take away from this match is this. We sit here and we kind of poke fun at the big tree trunk Nakanishi, right? we kind of
he did some good chops tonight.
Look, he and I heard this elsewhere, so this is not a revolutionary thought. But every once in a while, he comes up and not to say that he puts on a stellar performance and he blows us out of the water, but he's protected enough in these multi-man tag matches where when he is in, he kind of conserves all of his energy and all everything that he has going for him into one pocket of time. And this was a perfect example of that match. Another match that comes to mind is from Dontaku of this year, where he does the dive and he barely clears the ropes, right? Over the top onto the crowd at ringside. His interaction with Ibushi during this match, I thought was actually fun.
That was probably the most entertaining part of this match.
Yeah, I really enjoyed it. And again, it was this old grizzled veteran, having enough of the kid, and he's going to teach him a lesson. He's going to smack him around a little bit. So I do like that element that New Japan has of these veterans, teaching the lessons, so to speak, to the young up and comers, and kind of showing them that I still got a little bit in the tank here. And I think this is a perfect example of that. That's the takeaway I take from this match. Was it one of the matches that I'm going to remember leaving this card? No, by no stretch of the imagination, guys. Let's relax on that. But that I do think that one little interaction was decent enough that's my takeaway from this match. It wasn't a terrible match. It was what you expect.
Yeah, exactly. It was what you would expect after reading this on paper. And Kojima picked up the win for his team after pinning Captain New Japan, the big giant peep, with a lariat.
I mean, why does anybody team with him? I mean, let's be pro wrestling fans for a moment and crack open our Pro Wrestling Illustrateds.
Yeah, if I showed up and saw that I was on the same team with Captain New Japan,
I'd be like, fuck this shit.
Yeah, I don't know if that's better or worse than being on the same team with Naito.
I think it's worse. At least you got a shot. At least you got a shot with Naito. Hey, Captain, why would anybody tag with Captain New Japan?
Well, Damon, his heart's in the right place.
I appreciate that, but oh my God, what a fucking jabron. All right,
so the next match was for the IWGP Junior Tag Team Championship. We had the champions, Red Dragon, Bobby Fish, and Kyle O'Reilly, defending against Roppongi Vice, Rocky Romero, and Trent Beretta. Look, I have a few things to say about this match. Number one, I thought that the match itself was really enjoyable. I thought that Romero and Beretta, for some reason, I really enjoyed these guys in this match, then they just shined more in this match to me than previous encounters. But what a wacky finish. Like, I can't tell if that was a botch or if that was on purpose to set up a rematch.
Yeah, I think it was a botch. I mean, I'm pretty sure it was, and it's just by the reactions and what was going on in the ring.
It was just weird.
Was it Tiger Hattori? I think it was
Tiger
Hattori.
It was.
I mean, look, I don't blame the referee. The referee's got to do what he's got to do. He's going to call, if there's shoulders on the mat, and he's going to make it look as legitimate as possible. And, was it Trent Beretta that was pinned? I think it was Trent Beretta. He never got shoulder up, or it was late. And, what are you going to do? So, yeah, I mean, it did kill a match, and usually botches, I don't really have a problem with it, but when they come in that fashion and in that manner at that really impacts a finish, yeah, you can kind of leave a little bit of a sour taste in your mouth. But yeah, I definitely think that was a botch. You could tell by Red Dragon's reaction, they improvised on the spot. But and even if you watch it back, look for Rocky Romero, and he didn't look too pleased. he looked like he was a little pissed off. I liked the match. I think the finish deflated the balloon. I think if it went the planned course, it would have been much better in my eyes. But yeah, that finish soured me a little bit.
Yeah, if that finish didn't go down the way it did, I was ready to give this four snowflakes, actually. Yeah. I was really into this match. And just to go back and retrace what happened here, Fish and O'Reilly did their double dragon move to Beretta, and it looked like Rocky Romero was going to come in and make the save, but Tiger Ettore counted three, and that was the end of the match there.
It was really awkward. You know how they do that spot where, you know, it's kind of like two guys, you know, they lose their balance and they fall into the pin attempt. I think that's what it was, right?
Right.
And listen, somebody was a little late. Gotta be honest, somebody was a little late making that happen. And Tiger Ettore just, you know, he called it like a shoot, like referees are kind of told to do. And, you know, somebody didn't get their shoulder up and somebody didn't break up the tag and, you know, awkwardness ensued.
I've said before on this podcast that Fish and O'Reilly, for me, for my money, they get the award for Tag Team of the Year. But, Damon, let me ask you, what is your opinion on Roppongi Vice? For some reason, I've just begun to notice that they're actually a really damn good tag team.
Yeah, I mean, to me, I liked Forever Hooligans, but they weren't like, you know, top of my list or anything, but like if they were on a show, I you know, more than fine. I do like Roppongi Vice. I really think Rocky Romero is one of the more underrated guys in the biz. We talked about this before in the sense that he's a, you know, he kind of does a lot of comedy, and comedy's not my thing. I mean, when I see comedy, I'm the first to eye roll. But I like him. I think he's so solid. I think he's so smart in the ring. And I think, you know, he's a talented, talented guy. I like the tag team. I know people were kind of hesitant in this match. They knew it was going to be a good match, but I think that they didn't take them seriously as a like a real contender. Like, I didn't think anybody thought that the belts were going to change hands. You know what I mean? So I think that kind of hurts the match a little bit in the sense that nobody thinks that Roppongi Vice is winning the belts, but I like this tag team. I really do. I think they're grossly underrated. And again, Rocky Romero is a talent, man. He's really fucking good.
Yeah. For some reason, I didn't realize just how underrated they were until this show. I don't know what it was that made me come to that realization, but
well, I haven't looked, and I can look back, but I can't. I'm trying to think back. When was the last time we saw them in just a straight up tag match?
I can't remember.
Yeah, they're usually hidden in like chaos, multi man tag team against, you know, Bullet Clubs or what have you. So it's like I'm trying to rack my brain, and I don't have cage match. Maybe we can get an intern on that, but I'd be curious to see like how many singles matches there have been with them, because they're a good tag team. And I think given the fact that if you give them time and you give them the opportunity and the spotlight, they certainly can shine. Again, maybe it's just the fact that they're hidden and buried in these multi-man tags that it's kind of hard to get a read on them.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch here with Red Dragon and Roppongi Vice, which, you know, because of the finish, I think we definitely are.
Yeah, I think so. And again, we've got a lot to cover on our Sunday show because we're doing that Sunday show. But you know, this junior tag team title, junior tag team tournament, rather, it does fly under the radar for a lot of people. But this is the lineups and the teams that are involved. Man, this is like dream card kind of shit. Like if you saw this shit, you know, if this lineup, you know, for this tag tournament, just the opening round was at 2300, or if it was, you know, if it was on like a Pro Wrestling Guerrilla show, I think people would lose their fucking minds. You know, I think people would go crazy over it. So, we'll cover that more on Sunday. But yeah, I'd be curious to see how many singles, you know, one-on-one tag matches Roppongi Vice has had during the year.
Yeah, I think that we are going to be in for a real treat when it comes to this tag tournament. And just a side note, Damon, you've been to Japan twice now.
I have.
Have you ever actually been to Roppongi?
Oh, huh. Okay. So, yes. And here's the thing. Tokyo is probably the safest city I've ever been to. Like, I have zero qualms, like, walking around 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I did because you know, the time difference is so out of whack that, yeah, you know, I mean, that did happen. So Roppongi is kind of like, and I want to say it's like a red light district because Shinjuku kind of has that too. But Roppongi has a lot of bars and a lot of like American and like expat type
expat bar.
X-Pac walks around. Yeah. Don't sit in a corner because he's going to fucking Bronco bust. It's so awkward. So there's a lot of drunkenness at night. So it's really weird during the day. Like during the day, it's kind of like it seemed to me like it was like a lot of office complexes and like not a lot going on during the day. But at night, it totally fucking transforms and it's shenanigans. It's shenanigans. So they stand like out in the street and it's all crowded on. It's all bars and titty bars and stuff like that. And probably other things, like, you know, who knows. So what they'll do is they'll see like a Westerner or American or European guy, you know, and they'll come up and they'll be like, Hey buddy, you come in here and you want to see some tits or you want to, you know, and you're like, you're trying to blow them up. You're like, no, I'm not into them. But no, free drinks. We'll get you in here. And like, they're physically holding on to you. Right.
Whoa.
Yeah. They're a little, it's a little crazy. Right. And there are a lot of them. Like if you're kind of stern and forceful, you know, you'd be like, no. Right. Or you just pretend you don't speak English or any language that they're speaking. Right? You just be like, ah, blah, 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 like make up sounds and shit. Because I did that.
I speak Klingon.
I don't know what I was saying. I don't even know. But yeah, so that happens a lot because I was by myself. I had earbuds in, but you know, sometimes I didn't. Sometimes I did it because sometimes I didn't feel too comfortable just having earbuds in around there. But it was, yeah, I mean, there were a lot of them, and they really want your business. And so here's to wrap this up. What they do is, I'm not saying every place, but it's pretty notorious that what they'll do is they'll bring you into these places, right? And like a beer will be like $700. Like they'll charge your fucking like – they'll give you a bill for something crazy, right? And you'll be like, I ain't paying this shit. I bought one beer, and I bought this, you know, fucking whore a beer. And it'll be like, nah, you're paying, or we're bringing out the fucking lumber, right? And here comes, you know, some unsavory characters ready to, they're going to get their money. Let's put it that way. So yeah. Or what they do is they will drug you. They'll roofie you.
This sounds serious.
It really is, dude. And I can't believe we're going off in this, but that's Roppongi. So like when like Carino, like, and Carino's getting taken care of when he goes over there, you know, he's got sponsors and shit and people buying him stuff and people taking him to stuff for just a schmo walking down the street. That's from, you know, Philadelphia. They got lust in their eyes at that point, man. They're salivating thinking this guy's, you know, we got a sucker.
And, so if I go walking down the streets of Roppongi late at night, then I'm by myself. I should be on alert is what you're saying.
Just ignore. And here's the thing. You can't hit them. Like if they touch you, you can't like haul off and crack them across the face because your ass is in jail and then you're getting deported and that's a mess. So you got to keep your faculty. Because here's the thing. If that happened in Philly, my keys are in my fucking knuckles and they're eating my keys. Right. I'm knocking out a couple teeth.
Sure. Because you're a badass.
Yeah. Me. you can't do that there. Like there isn't like the same laws for self-defense and shit. I ain't gonna fly there. So you gotta, you know, gotta be cool about it. But it's really weird how it flips. You know, it's like during the day it's all offices, but during night it's crazy. We're
all right,
off
well,
the rails. we're officially off the rails.
The only reason I even brought that up is because you always hear Kevin Kelly bring up Steve Carino and, you know, his stories from Roppongi. So I just had to, you know, ask you if that was real or not.
Oh yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I can't imagine some of the shit he's seen, you know, being
so that ain't a work. That's
I don't think so. I think I'm think he's this is all he could probably rattle off a ton of stories.
All right, so moving on to a lighter note, we're gonna venture out of the dark alleys of Roppongi, and we're gonna go into this IWGP Junior title match here with the champion, the cleaner Kenny Omega, defending against Matt Sydal. I thought that this was a great match. I really enjoyed this.
I did too. And here's the thing with Kenny Omega. I can't think of another wrestler that does this to me, Colin. And I don't know how you feel about this, but I could watch a match with Kenny Omega, and I could be like, oh my God, he's fucking so talented, and he's so fucking good. And man, he's just smooth and natural, and just everything he does is crisp, and his offense looks great. And then I could watch this same match 3 days later and be like, oh, this fucking guy's driving me crazy. And I can't think of anybody else that does that to me. He's so polarizing within my own head, right? That I don't know if I really like him or I can't stand him. I don't know what it is with him.
I think the problem is that sometimes it's hard for some people to take him seriously with his whole Final Fantasy shtick that he's got going on. You know, he comes out and he's, you know, doing the oh, oh, oh. You know, he's singing his entrance
music. Pretty good, by the way.
Yeah, thank you.
Can somebody isolate that sound clip for me, please? I need a new ringtone.
Hey, I take great pride in my in my musical talents. Yeah. But, yeah, sometimes it's hard to take him seriously. And, you know, especially in a promotion, in a product that prides itself on being, you know, serious and, you know, sports-centered. So is that part of it for you personally?
Yeah, I would say normally yes, but it could be the same match, because I watched this match twice and I thought the matches, you know, I didn't think any less of the match, but I thought less of him. And I don't know why, because originally when I saw it, I was like, all right, this is the I'm ready to get a 9-hour Kenny Omega comp, you know, and binge watch Kenny Omega matches. But then I watched this match again and I'm like, oh, fucking God damn it. And I'm like, wait a minute. I liked him 2 days ago. And he does this to me all the time. And I don't know what it is. It's not even match to match, Colin. It's the same fucking match. I don't know if it's am I bipolar or I don't know what it is. But he's the only wrestler that I can think of that does that for me.
So do you think that – are you saying that he does the same things? Like, did he do the same stuff in this match?
No, it's not the same. It's not. Colin, I swear to you, I watched this match as it happened, and I thought it was a great match. I'm in the four range.
I'm in the four-star range, for sure.
Yeah, I thought Matt Sydal was fantastic.
Oh, we're going to talk about him in a minute.
I had no problems with the match. I thought the match was great. And I liked Kenny Omega being Kenny Omega in this match. Okay. That doesn't necessarily mean cleaner or wacky DDT guy or serious Kenny Omega. I liked Kenny Omega. I had no problem with Kenny Omega in this match. I liked the match. So I rewatched this entire show and I'm watching this match and I'm like mumbling under my breath, like, oh, fucking Kenny Omega. Fucking Kenny. Oh, this fucking guy. Oh, Kenny Omega. Jesus fucking Christ. And I stopped myself. And I was like, wait a minute. Fucking 3 days ago, I was literally scouring the internet for people to provide me with a Kenny Omega comp. I swear to God. Right? In between my MILF searching, I'm looking for Kenny Omega. I'm looking for Kenny Omega.
Most of it's MILF searching.
Well, all right, Asian MILF. But my point being is it's the same fucking match. It's the same match I'm watching, and it's and I got two completely different reactions to it. And my question is this, am I out of my mind?
Wow, Kenny Omega really is a polarizing figure in your mind.
He really is, Con. And I'm not making this shit up. I can't, you know, and I can't think of anybody else that does that to me. Like, he's a great pro wrestler.
He is.
And sometimes I guess I can take him at the entire package, I can take it all in. Ew, that didn't sound good.
Damon can take the entire package.
Please do not isolate that sound clip. Please delete and strike from record. Do you see what I'm saying? It's like I and it's the same match. So maybe it's just me going out of my head. But this was a good match, and I'll be quiet and let you give your thoughts.
My first memory of Kenny Omega ever, it was, I think he was wrestling on a Ring of Honor show. I don't remember what it was, and this was back in like, oh, I don't even know how far back this was. At least, you know, over 5 years ago. And I remember seeing this guy, and he did the Hadouken from Street Fighter that Ryu and Ken do. Like, I couldn't believe that a wrestler was actually using that, was utilizing a Street Fighter move in their arsenal. So that was my first memory of Kenny Omega doing that in Ring of Honor. And then he kind of like fell off the radar a bit, you know. I didn't see him as much on the scene, and it wasn't until, you know, last year when I guess it was, that he was signed to New Japan Pro Wrestling. And yeah, I just, Kenny Omega is certainly one of a kind. But how about this Matt Sydal? Talk about, you know, a guy that really never got his due in the business, and just such an amazing talent. Such a, just that standing moonsault that he does, it is just so symmetrically perfect. And this kid's a great worker.
Yeah, you know, like I said, Kenny Omega is polarizing. And, you know, I'm not the biggest fan of the DDT stuff and the comedy stuff and the you know, that is what it is. And I'm sure that has its audience and people enjoy that element of Kenny Omega. He definitely can appeal to a younger set, no doubt, with the video game references and the anime references and all that.
They're all pretty old references, by the way.
Are
just
they
saying.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you know, right. Metal Gear Solid and Final Fantasy, that shit's been around for a long time, buddy.
All right, well, listen, you know, all right, what are you saying? Matt Sydal is one of those guys, man, that he's, you know, I don't want to put a label on him and say, you know, he is this is his ceiling, you know, like a New Japan is his ceiling, because I hate doing that. I wouldn't want to do that to people, because who the fuck am I? But, you know, I wish there was more available and more options for him available aside from, I guess what I'm trying to say is, man, fucking these North American companies really fucking missed the boat on him, you know?
Yeah.
And I know that TNA is what the fuck it is, and WWE is what the fuck it is, but man, it does leave you scratching your fucking head thinking, man, what are these people thinking? When you got a guy that talented, I mean, does he have the charisma and the charm that can carry a promotion? No, but man, you mean to tell me there's nothing you can do with this guy? And I guess that's our benefit, you know, because between the New Japan stuff and the Dragon Gate stuff and the Pro Wrestling Guerrilla stuff and the Ring of Honor stuff, I mean, there's so many options available to him, but man, I just think on a big stage, they're missing the boat on a guy like this. And, you know, if he has no charisma, put him on a fucking mask and, you know, have him do shit. But I don't know. I think they're missing the boat.
And how about that man bun? Boy.
That's one thing I don't like.
I have never seen somebody rock a man bun as well as Matt Sydal does. I'll tell you what. Not many guys can pull that off, Damon. You can't pull that off, buddy.
I certainly can't. Yeah, great. I can't believe the words man bun came out, but hey, you know, we're a crazy show.
Yeah, so Kenny Omega picks up the win here with the one-winged angel, his finisher, which is sort of like an electric chair dropped into a Michinoku driver. Were you surprised at the outcome of this, or, you know, you thought it was... Oh, yeah, same.
Yeah, I think we both predicted Omega was winning this, and you know, I kind of hope this leads to Kushida kind of getting in the mix. Man, talk about a guy who's falling off the rails. He's the guy. You know, and we'll probably talk more about this on Sunday, but those Rev Pro shows in England, they were some great shows. But, you know, why would Kushida be doing jobs? You know? Listen, he had to piss somebody off. He got under somebody's skin.
Who could Kushida possibly piss off? The guy's the most lovable.
I know.
know. He looks like a little child. I don't know. But see, he pissed off somebody because it makes no sense. Like, there's no other reason besides pure spite at this point. Like, because there's why? It's just
so you're saying that they took the title off of Kushida for spite?
Listen, he has had two runs, both of which there was an instant, nope, fuck this. You know,
yes.
Right?
I remember.
I mean, he won the Super Juniors, but, you know, that led nowhere. And he's floundering. What direction does he have now? Where is he going? He can go nowhere. It doesn't seem to be any plan for him. His plan is six man opening tag. His plan is, Wrestle Kingdom Dark Battle Royal is what his plans are.
And that's sad because last month, you know, around this time, I had Kushida booked defending the junior title against Ricochet at Wrestle Kingdom.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think we all had
that's what I had in my mind.
We all had these grand plans for him, but. That didn't happen. And there's, like I said, he had to have pissed somebody off because there's no explanation whatsoever for this literally drop like a rock booking on Kushida.
Yeah, well, we're going to talk more about that on Sunday, but let's move on here. After the intermission, we got into the second half of the show. Shinsuke Nakamura, Toru Yano, and Sakuraba taking on Karl Anderson, Doc Gallows, and Bad Luck Fale. Look, I didn't really think much of this match, but I'll tell you what, just from the time that we got to see Nakamura and Anderson in the ring together and do their thing, I'm kind of looking forward to their match at Power Struggle now a little more.
Yeah, I said it before that it's going to be a good match. Karl Anderson can put on a great match. I can't wait for, you know, Guns and Gallows to be no more. I pray for it every day.
Oh, Damon, there was only one cock swing, I think, in this. Or...
I didn't see many. You know, I was a little disappointed. A little disappointed in Doc. Maybe he's coming up a little limp and coming a little short there.
I think we need to lay into him a little more, and maybe he'll...
You think so?
Yeah.
He needs a little encouragement. He needs a little verbal. Hey, Doc. Let's get that cock swinging a little bit, all right, buddy? Come on, we're all looking forward to it. We all know that's all you got in your arsenal. Let's do it. Come on, make a smile. Make a smile with your stupid cock swing. Ugh, God almighty.
Gallows is Ichiban.
Karl Anderson did a good job. Yeah, and when he was in there with Nakamura, it was fine. But to me, this was probably my least rated match. It didn't do anything for me.
Yeah.
And my prediction of falling asleep, I believe, came true during this match because I remember shaking myself, waking up, being like, "Oh shit, what?" I must have dozed off a little bit because it was doing nothing.
You are not gonna believe where I fell asleep during this show, but we're gonna get into that later.
Oh, all right.
But this is my least favorite match on the card. You know, we saw Yano give the big Bad Luck Fale the low blow, and that coconut toppled over, and he schoolboyed him, and Yano picks up the win for his team there. So
now, wouldn't it have been better if Yano got the cock shot on Gallows, right?
Yeah, you know, I didn't even think of that. You know, since Gallows is always swinging that cock,
it's always in his way. You know, he's always tripping over it.
Yeah,
and,
it's so massive.
It's just, you know, it's like a fucking anaconda. So, you know, you build it up for a year, him swinging it around. Come on, little knockaroo right on the tip.
I think that might be a Wrestle Kingdom dream match. Yano versus Gallows. Book it, Ghetto. Book it.
Ball shot match. You can only win with a ball shot.
Why? Huh? Why aren't we running this promotion? Oh my god!
It's just money. Pure fucking money.
Oh, they'd be out of business overnight. Anyway. the next match here for the never open weight title, Togi Makabe defending against Tomohiro Ishii. Damon, I believe that this was the fourth or fifth time that we've seen these two big bulls battle it out. And, you know, we've seen this match so many times before. I don't think they really did anything different. in this encounter than they've done in previous encounters. I can tell you right off the bat that their match at Wrestle Kingdom earlier this year was a lot better than this one. But as we both predicted, Ishii picks up the win, regains the never open weight title. And who comes out after the match to lay down the challenge but Mr. Honma, everybody's favorite underdog.
Well, look, I think before we get into this, I think we owe you a little round of applause, Colin. This is exactly how you made out. I mean,
that's right. Hot take Colin here.
Yeah, look at, you know,
at least one of my things came through, right?
It didn't even cost you a dollar.
Nope.
Yeah, it's exactly how it laid out. Look, I know everybody going into this was kind of just, you know, kicking it to the curb. This was a good fucking match, guys. This might have been their best match of the four.
Really? You think this was better than their Wrestle Kingdom match?
This was a great match, man. You know, here's the thing. I came off of watching, and I tweeted this or Facebooked it. I don't really tweet, but I put it somewhere. It's fucking look online. Suzuki, is it Sugiura? Sugiura from Noah?
Yeah.
That match? Holy shit, this match. Holy shit. I mean, you're talking about two guys literally beating. It was a fight. It was an absolute. It wasn't a wrestling match, Colin. This was a fight. There was a time where there's this spot where it's an ankle lock and Suzuki gets to the ropes and it's a big kind of build. It's in the middle of the match. From that point forward, it literally is two guys punching and elbowing the living shit out of each other. There were times where I physically got up out of my chair after some of these shots. I couldn't believe it. And Suzuki's one of those guys, man. You're going to get a gem once a year. He did it last year with Styles. This is his gem this year. If you got to fucking see this match, because it's cut from the same cloth as Honma, or excuse me, as Ishii and Makabe. If you like Ishii Makabe, you will absolutely go bonkers over the Suzuki Sugiura, I can't pronounce his name, match. Fucking fantastic.
Are you saying I should move that match up to the top of my
must-watch
wrestling list, which is just overflowing with...
I know it is. I know
it's
saying a lot of shit.
It's ridiculous.
Fucking amazing. So anyway, it's cut from the same cloth. So I thought the Suzuki Sugiura match was better than the Ishii Makabe match, but I really like the Ishii Makabe match. I had no problem with it. It is the same shit that we've seen, but the shit is really fucking good.
Oh, it was a good match, definitely. Absolutely. I will not say anything bad about this match. I will just say that I think that some of their previous encounters were better, just in my opinion. Maybe I need to go back and watch it, and maybe I'll agree with you that this was the best one. Who knows?
I like this one a lot. I thought this was listen, do I want to see this again? No, I'm done with it. We're good. We're fine.
Well, I'm going to express a fear that I have to you in a moment, but finish your thought.
I can't imagine. Don't say it. But going into it, I think everybody was on the same page of, okay, you know, let's work our way through this, forgetting the fact that these two guys love to beat the shit out of each other, and it's very entertaining.
Well, Damon, here's my fear, okay? All right, so I said that Tomohiro Ishii was going to pick up the win here and become never open weight champion, which he did.
Mm-hmm.
And I said that Honma was going to beat Yoshihashi and then lay down the challenge to Ishii, which he did. And, you know, what a great way to kind of end their trilogy, you know. What a better way than to have them do it at the Tokyo Dome in Wrestle Kingdom. You know, we saw these guys have their first match of the year at the New Beginning, I believe. You know, Ishii beat Honma in one of my top five matches of the year, actually. I thought that was a phenomenal match.
Yep.
Then we saw Honma, you know, pick up the win over Ishii at the G1. And
I was there.
Yeah, you were there. That's right, you bastard.
It was great.
And, you know, I just kept thinking, man, what a better way to, you know, round off this trilogy than under the big egg dome at Wrestle Kingdom. Then we find out today that they're doing this match at Power Struggle next month in November.
Yeah,
now, Here is my fear.
What's that?
Ishii beats Honma. Mm-hmm. And then what do we see at Wrestle Kingdom but Makabe coming back to challenge Ishii for the belt that he lost?
What's his rematch?
Son of a bitch.
Look, I can't say that that's not a possibility.
I think we're getting Makabe Ishii at Wrestle Kingdom 10.
I am not. I can't sit here and tell you that that's not going to happen. I hope not. I really hope not. I don't want to see that again. Even though I just sat here and told you how great this fucking match was, I'm good. We're good. Let's leave it on a high note, right? Costanza, right? Huh? Steinfeld?
Yeah, that's right. George put that into practice. He left on a high note.
Yeah. See, how about me?
Yeah, look at Damon making the Seinfeld reference.
Well, let's do that. Let's do that with this.
Okay.
So I'm with you on that fear because here's the thing. That's not a crazy fear. That's a legitimate fear.
Yeah.
That's as we've seen. That's a legitimate fear. Look, it's a fear. I can't say that they wouldn't do that. It's a legitimate fear.
Well, let's leave that there and let's move on to this next match here. The co-main event of the evening with Hiroshi Tanahashi defending his Tokyo Dome briefcase against Tetsuya Naito. You know, we see Naito come out in Gabernable's mask and the suit, and he was also with a doppelganger, another...
Oh my God, all these words.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, that's because I listen to a lot of Matt Stryker. Much of my vocabulary was learned from him.
Well...
No. But yeah. So Naito comes out with another suited gentleman who we have no idea who this is. Let's get into the match itself first here.
All right. Your thoughts?
You know, I thought that this was a good match, but okay. Here's my problem with it. And I was texting this to you last night, and I know you're going to disagree with me, but that finisher of Naito's has been protected, and he hits it on Tanahashi. Tanahashi just kicks out, gets up immediately like it was just a body slam, and then beats him, and that's it. What the fuck?
I agree.
Okay.
I know that was painful for you. I felt the cringe from here.
So it's like, LOL, Tanahashi wins.
But again, understand that we're here to build up to Tanahashi Okada. Right,
but I
understand.
What was
the
point of even protecting this finish?
To get to that point of holy shit, he Tanahashi
for Cena. Excuse me, for Tanahashi to kick out of it.
Oh, did you just? Oh, how dare
I say that with that's
a
tongue in.
Not to totally go off the rails, but did you hear fucking Kevin Kelly with his road to WrestleMania Kingdom?
I missed that. No, I have to go back and catch that.
Yes,
that's amazing.
I almost dropped my fucking tea. I was like, what did he just do? How do you fucking screw that up? Road to Wrestle Kingdom.
Well, he did work there for a time.
I know, he got confused. He was all sleepy and everything. All right, so yeah, listen, I'm kind of down with it. I know what you're saying, and I do agree that I'm not a big fan of kicking out of finishes, but
if it's Tanahashi, it's okay, right? That's what you're saying.
In this case, yes, because not for nothing, Tanahashi's headlining the fucking Tokyo Dome. Naito's not. Naito's there to put over Tanahashi. Now, is it with his finisher or not? Okay. I could we get away with this not happening with the finisher? Yeah, we could. But I'm not gonna go crazy the fact that he kicked out of Naito's finisher.
I couldn't believe it. You know what I actually thought was gonna happen here? I was convinced when I saw Naito come down to the ring with this other Ingobernable, you know.
Right.
Whatever. I was convinced that we were going to see him help Naito to upset Tanahashi. Naito is going to walk away with that briefcase. But then, of course, we were going to see a rematch at Power Struggle, you know, where Tanahashi regains that. I actually thought that we were in for the surprise of the night here with Naito upsetting Tanahashi.
I not for 1 minute did I think this. And I know that there was some clamoring online about it and kind of how it would be awesome to see Naito defend or actually win the belt at Wrestle Kingdom. And look, that's not how this is going down, guys. I mean, I don't want to disappoint everyone, but we knew this. You know, it's kind of like your parents saying, listen, we can't afford this new bike. And you're sitting there saying, well, Santa's going to get me a bike, and Santa's going to get me a bike. And then Christmas comes, and you got fucking Play-Doh. Well, we told you. Santa can't
afford it. I got wrestling figures for Christmas, Damon. I wasn't asking for no bike.
Look, well, tough shit. You ain't getting either, right? Apparently. Look, this is about Tanahashi getting his revenge and moving on to Wrestle Kingdom. Sorry, that's what it is. Should he have kicked out of his finisher? I don't have a big problem with it, to be honest with you. I really don't. I don't think it's that big of a deal. And, you know, you guys get over it. This is the Tanahashi Okada show.
Yeah, well, Damon, you know, you would be down there in the aisle with the little girl throwing your towel at Tanahashi for him to wipe his sweat on and give it back to you. Admit it.
I would. Listen, I'm not even going to sit here and lie and tell you that I didn't do that before. And it's not hanging up on my fucking wall right now. So F you, Colin Miller. I love him and his flat ironed hair. It's fucking awesome.
Now, Hiroshi Tanahashi, you know, all joking aside, is one of the top five best pro wrestlers in the universe. But I just feel like he shouldn't have kicked out of that finisher. But, you know, I'm sure I'm not going to lose any sleep over it tonight.
Yeah, everybody's going to be fine in the end. In the end of the day, everything's going to be all right with both those guys. What do you think of Watanabe
showing
up? Yeah,
the big surprise of the night, actually, Watanabe being revealed as the Ingobernable. Thank God that they brought this guy over and are actually, you know, using him for something meaningful. Actually, I think that this is like the perfect thing for him to be doing, to be a part of Naito's faction, because, you know, he has that, you know, thick kind of badass look about him. And I'm looking forward to seeing where they go with this. You know what I really think would be an awesome matchup? Shibata versus Watanabe.
Well, we're getting Shibata and Goto against Naito and what's he called now? Evil? They're calling him Evil
he's
now.
Called Evil.
So yeah, you're gonna see.
He looks evil.
He's got the, you know, he looks like a Madonna Wayne Gacy. Anyone? Anyone get that reference? Okay. So hey, look, I love this. Let me pump the brakes. Three things I want to make mention of. One, this Stryker made a comment. Your boy Stryker. Your man crush Stryker.
Hey.
Made a really nice comment. I really like this.
We're bros.
I thought he did a good job here. You're bros. Sharing a glass of wine, you know. Bought a special bottle for him.
How Colin got his groove back.
I like what he said. Something to the effect of, hey, it's amazing that Naito has so much influence right now in the locker room that these young lions coming back from excursion are believing what he's saying and taking it to heart, and it's, you know, this faction that Naito is running, you know, he's got some pull, he's got some stroke because people are listening to what he has to say. I liked that. I liked that little, you know, self, you know, he kind of took the ball and ran with it. You know, making up his own narrative, mind you, but I liked it. I had no problem with that. Here's what I didn't like, and what had nothing to do with Stryker. The fucking interference in this. This wasn't a good match. If I told you Naito Tanahashi, I think you got some expectations.
Well, we've seen these guys have great matches before.
This wasn't a great match.
No, it was not a great match. The interference definitely, yeah, it was almost a bit TNA-ish, dare I say.
It was a lot of interference. There was a lot of shenanigans. There was, it seemed like there was a lot going on. And right, look, I'm not gonna waver on this. I'm not gonna be flip flop Dame because I don't like flip flops. I'm a little unsure about this Naito thing.
Wait a minute. You just said that you were on board with it the last time we spoke.
I was. And something happened along the way. And that something was this fucking match. And there was nothing there. What happened? These are two fucking great wrestlers.
They are.
And I know this was to help set up this Watanabe return, but man, there was this match wasn't good.
Maybe this was just bad booking.
You know, somebody made a comment, and that somebody was New Japan Eric from the Classic Wrestling Board. Here's another thing that I hated from Stryker and fucking Kevin Kelly shout outs.
Oh boy, here we go.
Holy shit. If I heard, hey, we're shouting out everybody. Hey, shout out to Joel Goodhart. Shout out to Vince Lombardi, who's booking WWE.
Shout out to Vince Russo.
Everybody on the East Coast got a shout out. Enough. Again, it just didn't seem like they were acting like, they acted like fans that wanted to be there, and it rubbed me the wrong way.
Well, they were fans that wanted to be there.
All right, but they're paid to be broadcasters. They're not paid to be fans. All right. Anyway, what didn't I like? I didn't like the match. The interference was a lot. It could have been better, man. This disappointed me, especially with the two guys that are in that fucking ring. Mm.
Yeah, I had high expectations for this match. Such high expectations, and it was just, you know, I mean, the stuff that they did get to do at the beginning was good, but you know, when if you compare this to like their 2013 G1 finale, or even the match that they had at this past G1, you know, this isn't even in the same category.
Right. So what do you blame for that?
I don't know.
The gimmick.
You can't blame the gimmick. No. You blame
it's the style of him working.
It was like the interference.
Well, the interference doesn't help, but that doesn't look. This match wasn't good even without the interference. There wasn't any interference until the end.
Now wait a second. Did you enjoy their most recent G1 match?
Yeah,
Naito had the gimmick during that.
Okay, but I mean, certainly not to the full extent that he has now.
What?
It's the same gimmick, but it's definitely, you know, where he was maybe at a 7 or 8 during G1. He's at a full fucking 10 in Goblinables mode.
All right.
I mean, what else do you blame?
I'm not going to argue with you. I'm not going to argue with
me. But what are you doing?
I think that if they
then what do you put? Then why would this happen?
They should not have had Shibata and Goto do that run-in. You know, those guys should have just left the arena. You know,
in a rental car.
Yeah, exactly.
No, but who's going to make the save?
Nobody's going to make the save. Watanabe should have cost Tanahashi the match. Naito should have stolen the briefcase, and then they could have had a rematch at Power Struggle. That's how this should have went down.
Are you more upset with the booking or the match?
I'm actually more upset with the booking, to be honest with you.
Then you're out of your mind. Come on. You know. Come on. Stay with me here. This is about Tanahashi getting the win. He's not going to lose going into two months away from Wrestle Kingdom.
What a surprise that would have been, though. You're always talking about the sports analogy, Damon.
I know, but no.
Oh, but this wasn't the right time for the...
No, it wasn't. It's stupid. Listen, it's still pro wrestling. I mean, let's not... You know, this is... You know,
what are you talking about? This is the king of sports. New Japan pro wrestling.
There you go. But see what I'm saying? Like, I don't... It's still pro wrestling. There's still fundamentals that you need to occur to get to from point A to point B.
You're right.
Of course I'm right.
You're always right, Damon. At the end of the day, you're always right.
That's right. I love.
All right, moving on to our main event here for the IWGP Heavyweight Championship, the Rainmaker, Kazuchika Okada versus the phenomenal one, AJ Styles. Damon, okay, let me tell you a little
story about Zach and Diane.
I told you, you know, a few moments ago that there was a point during this show that I fell asleep. Now, let me explain to you. This is not a negative thing at all. One of the methods that I use. I have a hard time sleeping at night, okay?
Yeah, I do too.
One of the methods that I use...
You give me your method. You give me your method, I'll give you mine.
I have multiple methods.
All right, well, give me your go-to.
What? Okay.
It better not be jerking off.
No. No, that gets me wound up. Sometimes I'll listen to music. Most of the time, I'll listen to a podcast and I'll doze off. But
New Japan podcast.
Yes, I listen to the New Japan Bureau. I listen to the soothing sounds of your voice, Damon, and that just knocks me right out. No, seriously though, one of the things I do sometimes is I watch a good pro wrestling match, and let me explain this to you. You would think that, you know, watching a wrestling match would get you excited and amped up. But when I watch a really good pro wrestling match, you know, and I watch, you know, two of the best guys, you know, doing this dance, it kind of hypnotizes me, and it to a point where I get very relaxed and I kind of zonk out. And that happened to me. You know, I had a long day at work and I came home and I'm watching this match. You know, it's an excellent match. And during some of the final moments, man, my eyes just started to shut because I was so hypnotized by the dance that these two guys were doing. Does this make sense at all to you, what I'm saying?
It makes sense. It also sounds like a gay erotic novel.
Well, which I am working on in my spare time.
It really is a little creepy. But, listen, I'm the same way, though. Because I fall asleep more times on the couch watching wrestling than anything else. I swear to you.
Right. Like, see what I mean?
Because you do relax and you're like, oh, this is you're into the match and your kind of mind is off of things and it stops, you know, you stop obsessing over, you know, oh, I got to get that fucking, business report done. I got to do the budgets for my team and I got to fucking, you know, all this shit of life. And then you're just kind of focused on the match. And then, yeah, the next thing you know, you're waking up and it's, you know, you're asleep on the couch. Yes, I've been there. I won't give you my mind revolves Ambien, so no big deal. Listen to this podcast. I mean, of course I fucking eat Ambien to sleep, right? God almighty.
You're shot out of a cannon.
I know.
Like David Lee Roth or something.
Oh, it's exhausting being me. So what were we talking about?
We're talking about the main event here, Okada versus AJ Styles.
You dozing off. Well, look, I'm in the same boat. What did you think of the match?
Well, first of all, it was an excellent match. I mean, these two guys, we should be thankful. You know, everyone who's listening to this should be thankful that you're alive to watch both of these guys, you know, perform this art in front of us that they do. With that being said, I may have to go back and watch this again because I'm not sure that this was better than the match that they had at Dominion. I think that might have been the better match, actually. But, you know, look, anytime we see Okada versus AJ Styles, you're in for a treat. So I'm going to say that this was an excellent match. I owe you a Coke, obviously, because Okada, you know, after three Rainmakers in a row, pins my poor boy AJ. Great match. What do you think?
Yes, I think you summed it up perfectly. I agree with just about everything you said. This was a great match. There was something missing, and I don't know if it's that that closing stretch that just didn't seem to have the juice that I was expecting. I don't know if it was. It's just something wasn't as spectacular as I wanted it to be. Great match. I really thought this match was great. I think other matches they had were better. You're exactly right. 100% agree.
Agree on something 100%.
But here's the thing. That's, you know, I think that can happen. There's no doubt, you know. I saw people online. I saw a wide range of reviews on this. I saw everything from like 3.75. I saw one person give this 5 fucking stars.
All right.
Yeah, I did.
All right.
I did.
Pump the brakes.
I don't think this is even remotely sniffing a 5-star match.
No, I think I would give it 4 snowflakes.
Yeah, I'm in the 4s. I'm in the 4 range. I think them just showing up is a 4-star match, to be quite honest with you.
Oh God, if they just stood around in the ring and like kind of circled each other, you know,
really,
I'd be yeah.
Wow, you're that impressed. It was a good match. It wasn't five stars. It was a solid match. I think that they have had better matches. And for me personally, it kind of felt like I said, you know how they have something wasn't there. I wasn't jumping out of my seat. And I hate to put those expectations on those guys that I have to be so out of my mind to get what I think I was supposed to get out of this match.
Well, let's be honest, they set the bar pretty fucking high.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I set the bar very high. You know, I set the bar very high.
Yeah, as a professional broadcaster, I mean, I have to, you know, really struggle to keep up with you on these podcasts, Damon. I'll tell you what.
Why? Oh, why would you say something like that?
I don't know. You're just I'm kidding.
Oh, hurt my feelings. Oh, I thought
I wouldn't want to do that.
I thought we were a good team. Look, it again, I think both of us are guilty of putting this match on a pedestal before they even blocked up. And I did say that, you know, there anything can happen in this match. I did set the expectations. I just went into a southern draw. I did set the expectations pretty high, and they didn't quite hit that bar, but it was still a very good match.
And you know what's funny? I think that the moment where I closed my eyes for a little bit and then opened them up, at that exact moment, Okada gave Styles the first of three Rainmakers, and I'm like, oh, shit, no. God, no. Please. I can't afford this Coke. Coca-Cola, that is. Then I'm going to buy Damon.
Right. Please, FBI, if you're listening. please, DEA. We're talking about the beverage, not the pharmaceutical.
Oh, so yeah, Okada, you know, as we all expected, beats AJ Styles, retains his title, and then after the match, who comes out but Ace of the Universe, Hiroshi Tanahashi, and he does this thing where he points to Okada. He calls him champion, then he points to himself, and he calls himself Ace. And he does this over and over again. And yeah. Tanahashi leaves, Ghetto cuts a promo, and then confetti falls from the ceiling, and we all leave happy.
Yeah, it was a good show, and I don't think anybody left there and turned off the show thinking it was a bad show or even an average show. It was a good show. The main event, like I said, I don't want to beat it to death, but I felt like it left something on the table. There are other great matches that were on this show. Ishii Makabe was great. Seidel Omega was very good. Great. Yeah, it was. You know, it's kind of a weird show too. You know,
it was.
You know, the Roppongi Vice Dragon. You know, obviously that left something on the table. I thought the opening match was great. So it was a mixed bag. It was a good show overall. But yeah, looking back, it did seem like a mixed bag. Tanahashi Naito kind of disappointing. But yeah, some surprises again. Build toward the Wrestle Kingdom and Power Struggle later on. So we got lots of stuff to talk about in just a few short days, kids.
Yeah, that's right. Because you know, to make up for our transgressions, you know, of the of this late show, we're also going to be doing our regular show on Sunday, where we're going to go through the Power Struggle card. And speaking of which, did you catch the moment on this show where Matt Stryker thought this was Power Struggle?
Yeah,
that was kind of funny.
What a dope.
No, he's a he is.
No,
a,
I mean no, I mean you.
Oh, me?
I'm kidding.
Well, anyway, we hope that you enjoyed our King of Pro Wrestling review here. Remember, you can tweet us at PuroCast. You can like us on Facebook at New Japan PuroCast. And another thing that I mentioned on social media that I would like to implement soon. Damon, I think it would be kind of cool if we went into the social media archives, into the Reddit archives, and kind of answered some fan questions or fan comments here on the air.
I mean, listen, I'd be thrilled with the idea. I mean, listen, if somebody's going to throw a question by us, by all means, I'd be happy to give it my best swing. But you know, I'm not expecting a floodgate of questions. But if if you got one, great. I'm down. Look, it's probably better that Colin does this because I don't really go on social media accounts, so I don't hear what people are saying. But
trust me, Damon, we have our fair share of comments.
I listen, I've heard some very nice things that people are saying, and I think that's one of the reasons why we – listen, the minute I get out of here, I'm going to an arena, and I'm covering a professional hockey game. So, you know, we juggled our schedules, and we felt the obligation for this show because of you fine people and the sweet things that you have been saying.
Yes, remember, follow us at PuroCast, like us on Facebook. Remember to subscribe to us on iTunes at New Japan.
I'm sorry. Yes, Colin, I apologize. I don't mean to cut you off, but I am a little fucking embarrassed because apparently there is a Damon Tweets account
That's right. There is a Damon Tweets account. We asked for that last week, and somebody made it.
Okay, well, I'm a little fucking embarrassed because there's one person apparently subscribed to it. Or can we up the numbers on that, please? Can you people subscribe to that thing and not make it so embarrassing that one person is following this account, please? Thank you.
Yeah, and to plug the address for that, it is at Damon Pirro Quotes.
See, I love it. Our fans are. I gotta be honest with you. Our fans rock, man. We got fans in New Zealand, dude.
Yeah, that's right. A gentleman from New Zealand said that he listens to us on the way to university each morning.
How cool is that? Like, number one, they got university. I mean, just saying it is cool.
Yeah, you just know, saying on the way to university. That's
going,
awesome.
Yeah, going to university. You know,
that beats the shit out of saying on my way to class.
Right, exactly. They got it made down there. And listen, the Australian women, or excuse me, not the Australian women. How about dare I? The New Zealand women.
And Australian women.
Well, yeah, Australian women are very nice. Very nice, but New Zealand, let me tell you something. I don't know why I'm mumbling. All right, close it out.
All right, so you can follow at Damon Pirro Quotes, you know, and get that some more subscribers. Seriously, follow us at PuroCast. Tweet us your questions, comments, anything that's on your mind. You can do that on Facebook as well. If you subscribe to us directly on iTunes, you will get each and every show that we record first thing, and you can also listen to us on the great voicesofwrestling.com, which we are a part of their podcasting network, of course, one of the best websites out there that covers New Japan Pro Wrestling. You can listen to us on there and on their iTunes feed. You can also subscribe to us on Stitcher Radio. So many ways to listen to the New Japan PuroCast. So remember, boys and girls, we're going to be back Sunday night or Monday morning, depending on when you listen to us, with a rundown of the Power Struggle card and a look into the future of where we are headed on the road to Wrestle Kingdom 10. So on that note, I am Colin Miller for Damon McDonald. We shall see you guys on Sunday.